This podcast is brought to you by Rebecca Castles of the Rising Dawn series. Do you like violence? Do you like smut? Are you tired of the stereotypical novels of werewolf romance out there and want something a little bit different? Then pick up Sparked Revolution, Book 1 in the Rising Dawn series by Rebecca Castles. Available on Amazon, in Kindle, and paperback. You too can become a sponsor of Stories Are True in the Fiction by heading on over to buymeacoffee.com/STTATF or follow the link in the show notes. And welcome to the Middle Ages Comic Hour. What's that? Two episodes in a row? Yes, because that's how we roll. That's how we roll. If you're chiming in for the first time, then, well, what a random spot for you to come in. But welcome. Welcome to the show.
Go back. At least go back or whatever. Go back an episode. Listen to episode one. Yeah. Or listen to episode featuring Sweet Tooth issue one. That's probably a good start.
That would be a good start, yes. But look. Exciting stuff coming up for the podcast. We're going to get a whole lot of more authors on, interviews and stuff like that. We're going to become more focused for authors. Seeing our sponsor, Rebecca Castles, is an author, we want to be that super friendly author podcast that talks with authors, not just authors, screenwriters, comic book writers, anything, all that stuff. We want to cater to you guys, but also, you know, keep our little quirks and our Henry Cavill references and stuff like that. Yes, this episode will have a Henry Cavill reference, just so you know.
Oh yes, very true.
Yes, but look, if you want to jump on as a sponsor alongside Rebecca Castles, buymeacoffee.com/STTATF, link in the show notes. It's about $8 a month, $8 Australian. If you're an American, that's like $5. So it's like nothing.
And if you live in Africa, that's like a school and a water supply. So, you know, I just think back to those World Vision ads that we used to see on TV all the time.
Yes.
Just $1 a day, you can turn it into you can turn a small African village into a dystopian future.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, if you're interested, link in the show notes. In case you haven't noticed, I am J.A. Bryden, one of your hosts, and with me is our other host. Oh, what's his name again? Oh, that's right, Ryan Haig.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I know it's been a while. Been a while, but I don't think you deserve to forget my name just yet. I'm going good, man. How's yourself?
You know the answer, but, you know.
Living the dream.
Yes. Just so you know, I really didn't forget Ryan's name. I'm doing a bit. Yes. We got another bit of a short episode probably this time.
It's only because Jeff Lemire tells stories so well through art, through visual art, that he doesn't put a lot of words in his comics. You know, we've gone from doing the Kraven the last time, we're back in the 80s where they used to use words for everything, to, you know, Jeff Lemire doing Sweet Tooth where he not only writes it, but he draws it. And he's such a good job at drawing panels that they tell a story without words. So,
yeah. It is quite, look, it's honestly the more, because I've read it a few times, like last issue and then this issue coming into it, and it's he's just incredible. Honestly, he's incredible.
No, he really, really is. If you really like him, you should check out when you get a chance. He's run on Justice League Dark. Mm. Absolutely amazing. Like, he's really good at that horror kind of stuff, like post-apocalyptic with Sweet Tooth, the horror. Yeah. But he does a really good run in the New 52 on The Dark, Justice League Dark, which is good because you can start from issue one. I think it's only 12 issues. So
awesome.
He knows how to write, that man. Yeah. So
he is fastly becoming one of my favorite writers and artists, and like, because I really love it when it's the writer is doing the art and you know, basically creating as much of the comic as he can himself. I love Stan Saki, who does Yojimbo. He's been doing the art and the writing like since the 80s, you know, like
he has, yeah.
And I love it.
I think, yeah, it takes real talent. Like there was a lot of from the early 2000s, or there was a few key artists that, you know, both draw and write. Like obviously you've got the GOAT himself, Jim Lee, was one of the first to write and draw. He's such an amazing artist, and then he was able to write Batman so well as well. But yeah, Jeff Lemire comes from that era of independent writers that just grew up. He's like, well, I know how to tell the story. He had a few issues with artists when he was trying to get some of his earlier stuff off the way.
Yeah.
And he thought, you know what, I can do better. I can do this myself. And then, you know, look at what we've got here. He's and he's very approachable too. You reach out to him on Twitter or X or whatever the hell it's called now. He actually, yeah, I've reached out to him back in the day when I first read Sweet Tooth, and he responded and we had a brief conversation. So it's very humble too.
So next week we will be having Jeff Lemire on the podcast.
Oh, no, I don't think that, yeah. I think that's a bit of a reach.
It would be me and Ryan staring at the screen while he's going, did you guys freeze? And we go like, no, we don't know what to say. That'd be adorable. Let's start with some lower level comic writers and artists. We should get Jamie Johnson back on again. Definitely.
Yeah. Oh, you're calling Jamie Johnson a lower level? I'm sure he's listening right now.
No,
he's
I'm not going to
come back on.
Well, when you put it like that, I was just saying, like, you know, he's not going to say he's as good as Jeff Lemire or on the same level, you know.
But he's been doing a fair few live colorings and drawings on Instagram, which I've actually been watching. So yeah, he's pretty good. So check him out, Jamie Johnson.
Quick Draw 13. We will put a link in the show notes. I'm going to put a link in the show notes if I remember.
Because he often does go live when he's doing some art. And I think he did a really good Ninja Turtles one the other night, which was great. So
he always does.
Over the last few days, he's done. I think I've seen him online 5 times doing them. So it's really good. So check it out.
Yes, 100%. But we've got some news, some bits of stuff that happened over the last couple of weeks. You guys may know about it. You may not know about it. But there's one thing. When we talked about Deadpool 3, there was something in the trailer that I missed, and you probably missed. You know when it's like they're in the TVA, they're in front of all the screens, and they're showing you all the different multiverses? Well, it turns out that our world, the real world, is part of the multiverse now. Confirmed.
Okay.
Because within that shot was Ryan Reynolds dressed as Deadpool giving an Oscar speech, which he made a video like before the trailer dropped. So and they slotted that in there. You know, classic. Like, remember I think it was Deadpool 2, and then they did Deadpool saying Happy Australia Day, and it was Deadpool wearing the corkscrew hat. And
I remember that.
And the Bob Ross thing as well. You know, it was clearly.
Yeah.
So we are a part of the MCU now, Ryan. How do you feel?
Well, there you go. I feel great. I'm gonna reach out to Kirk Connors then, and hopefully he can fix my leg so I can start walking again.
You've got to cross through the multiverse get to Kirk.
Seems like a bit too much effort.
And do you really want to grow your leg back to and then become like a lizard that's out of control?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that actually at the moment.
You'd be out of control, stomping through Blacktown.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, it'd give people something to talk about.
Well, there's always something to talk about.
But now it can't happen because we've talked about it on this podcast. So now that people see a giant lizard roaming through Blacktown, they're going to go, oh, that's right, from stories through the
future. No, but what you don't realise we're going to do is we're going to get another amputee or we're gonna have a whole lot of now I see what's going on. There's a snowball effect here, so we're going to talk about this off the podcast so then we can have plausible deniability. Now Ryan, who's one of the best people that we love to talk about, and in fact that
Henry Cavill.
Yes, was that, how did you know I was going to go there? You said
it's been all over the news the last like 3 days, 4 days.
Yeah. Did I show you that? But I'm sure you saw that clip that whereas Gina Carano used to date him. He's just talking about dating.
I think so. Cavill, yeah.
And how, you know, like amazing he is. He's like just this most genuinely passionate, nice guy, and all that stuff. And we're going like, you're making me like him more, Gina. You're making me like him more. She actually thought he wasn't an actor. She thought he was, because this was a while ago, she thought he was like an acting coach,
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But then, yeah, anyway, we can dream about what it's like to date Henry Cavill or play Warhammer with him or any nerdy things. But, you know, there's a bit of news revolving around Henry Cavill. Now, obviously, since he's departed from the DC universe,
mm-hmm.
now he's been apparently landed a role in the MCU. Now, it's not Doctor Doom, as everyone thought it would, but
no,
I could see him doing that, though, you know.
Because if you have Henry Cavill, why would you waste putting that man behind a mask?
Yes. Yeah. Well, well, there's that, but he would. But apparently, and this is, they haven't confirmed anything yet, but apparently, he is very interested in playing Captain Britain.
No, I don't think it's going to be that. I think it's going to be Cyclops.
Now, that's interesting.
Yeah, I have a feeling in my gut that it's going to be Cyclops because there's been a little bit of talk about it, but I have a feeling I think he'd be a great Cyclops because you got to remember he's a leader of the X-Men. You need someone with that tenacity and that ability to lead. And who better than Superman?
You know what we need to do? We need to pre-record Michael, our friend Michael, when he makes the noise, when he really, really, really loves something. And we need that as a soundbite because I'm making that noise right now because I'm realizing he would be an amazing Cyclops.
Yeah, definitely. And there's no bad stuff to say about James Marsden who played him in the original movies because obviously that was a different time and a different era, but that definitely wasn't the strongest Cyclops you see in the comics. I think that if you get someone, if you're going to start the X-Men with the original lineup, you're going to need a strong Cyclops. You need a strong Professor X and a strong Cyclops. And I think Henry Cavill will be a perfect Cyclops.
100%. I mean, even going back then, as much as I love Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, he would have been a better Cyclops at that time. Like, you know,
definitely.
Like, you know, he's got the height and the, you know, charisma and all that, but wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, I've loved him as Wolverine, though, even though he's had probably about 50% bad. Like no fault of his own, just you know, bad writing and bad, you know, crew behind him. But we got Logan, and that's the pinnacle.
Yes, definitely. And look, I'm not saying Henry Cavill wouldn't do a bad Captain Britain. I think he'd be a great Captain Britain.
Yeah.
But I honestly think if what I'm hearing is true and that MCU is going to focus on the X-Men as part of the next big thing, why not have Henry Cavill as the leader of the X-Men?
No, 100%. Yeah, but it does say, and I'm going through an article, it's Fandom Wire, and they're saying that Henry Cavill has expressed interest in playing Captain Britain, but I'm pretty sure that if someone offered him Cyclops, he'd be like, yes, I will take that. That was my very bad, very bad Henry Cavill accent.
Oh, it wasn't too bad.
Well, it's just like any Brit. You all Britain.
But I think we're going to find out more about that in the next, I'd say in the next 6 months, we'll sort of find out a lot more information about that.
Yeah, but no, look, it's cool. I reckon it's cool that he's in there and he's got a lot of potential for a whole lot of different roles, I reckon.
100%, I agree. But yeah, you could cast Henry Cavill as a cucumber and he'd nail the role, you know what I mean? Like, he's one of my favourite. I went back this week and watched some of the Mission Impossible movies, and I watched the one that he was in it. And God, he plays a bad guy so well, just as well as he plays a good guy, you know.
Yeah,
he's absolutely amazing. And I'm not just saying that because I'm in love with the man. I'm saying that because I respect him as an actor. He's a brilliant actor. So. Yes.
Yeah, he's just a brilliant dude. He comes from you know, a military family. And he's like that could be good enough for the military, but he's like, no, I will pretend that I'm in the military. Has he actually has he done any military movies? I don't think so.
Not that I can remember off the top of my head.
No.
I might have a look while we're talking about the next bit of news.
No, well, that's all the news I got for the time being. Oh, that's the other bit of news. You find your thing. I saw something somewhere.
I'm not seeing anything major. The Man from U.N.C.L.E. That's another good one of his.
Oh, that's fantastic. Do you know what about that one that is so good? I think he got in the way of Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise was supposed to do it, and then we got Henry Cavill.
I went through all of his history. No military movies at all.
Wow, there you go.
So yeah, maybe he wants to stay away from that.
Yeah. Okay. Just pulling up something else that you might be interested in. Might be. Added an extra word there. Okay. Batman gets his own Spider-Verse style crossover. So some it's fan art. And it looks quite good. Like, how would you feel about, you know, a Batman animated film, but in the style of Spider-Verse? Do you think it would work?
Yeah, I think it would. If it was animated, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure. If it was animated, 100%.
Yeah. Would you model it off the classic animated series style, like as in like those costumes?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I would, because then you've got so many different Batman to work with across the Elseworlds. You've got the Batman from Red Sun. You've got Batman 66, Batman 89. You've got all of the different Batman to work with. I think there's enough variance.
Yeah.
For there to be a Batman multiverse kind of movie.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, yeah. I would like to see that.
Yeah, but that's all the news I got. I'm sure there's more out there. We don't want to clog the whole thing up with news. We don't want to be the news podcast.
I don't know about that.
There is a bit of news.
James Gunn's Superman. It's no longer called Superman Legacy. Oh, yeah, it's just called Superman.
I also heard that there's a rumor going around that they're going to use the Superman movie to sell the DCU Discovery or whatever it is. Whatever DC Discovery. Is that the streaming service?
The comic streaming service.
No, well, it's movies.
HBO Max.
It might be that. Well, it said DC.
All the DC Discovery. Stuff's on HBO.
All right, okay. Well, hang on. Let me pull it up. Oh, okay. Gun Superman set up to sell Warner Brothers Discovery to NBC.
So Warner Brothers Discovery is basically a Max. What we know is HBO Max.
Okay.
Own the whole thing. So that's where all the DC stuff, like everything DC is. Like, I'm jealous because we out here in Australia, we have different services, have different parts of, you know, if you want to watch Batman the Animated, Superman the Animated, you've got to go to Netflix. If you want to watch some of the animated movies, you've got to go to Binge, and it's just all over the shop at the moment. So whereas HBO Max has, or Max, I think it's called now, has everything from Warner Brothers, like all DC. Nice bundle.
Well, it sounds like they're going to make this movie. It's going to land on the streaming service. And then they're going to be like, buy the whole thing,
That's a smart move. It's a smart move.
Yeah. Because, look, it's probably going to be a good movie. Let's just say that.
Oh, well, I have no doubt it will.
The casting's incredible alone, you know?
Well, I mean, the casting is just like Henry Cavill from Wish, pretty much, as Superman. He's like a younger dollar store version of Henry Cavill.
But, you know, who knows?
But no, I'm keen for it. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Look, it's a fresh start. It's a fresh take. I'm always excited, you know?
Yes, of course.
And like we said many, many moons ago, in Gun we trust.
Exactly, 100%.
Cool.
I've been watching a lot of his older movies while I've been off. Revisiting some of his older movies, like a really good sort of comedy horror called Slither with Nathan Fillion. all the usual suspects in it. And there was another piece of comic book news. Sean Gunn, James Gunn's brother, has been cast as Maxwell Lord in James Gunn's DC Universe, which was played by Pedro Pascal in that horrible Wonder Woman sequel.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So Sean Gunn, which we knew he'd probably have a decent part because he's, you know, when you got a famous brother.
But now it looks like Pedro Pascal is going to be playing Mr. What's his name?
Well, he is playing. It's confirmed.
Yeah. There you go.
The cast for Fantastic Four, that's more news, has been confirmed with Pedro Pascal playing Mr. Fantastic, which I think is a great cast.
Yeah, and the Storm, the guy from Stranger Things.
Oh, you mean Johnny Storm?
Yeah, Johnny Storm. Yeah, he's getting played by
the Human Torch. Yeah.
The guitar dude from Stranger Things. Have you watched much Stranger Things?
No, I'm not that far yet. But the Eddie, I know that Master of Puppets. I've watched it a million times. YouTube, where he plays Eddie. Isn't that Eddie?
I think it's Eddie. Yeah, it's been a while.
He plays Master of Puppets in Hell, or in the underworld or something.
Yeah.
Or the under, or whatever it's called.
And the Upside Down. And someone came along and said, people don't appreciate how skilled that is because when you date that series, he had 2 weeks to learn that without the internet.
Yeah, exactly. No guitar tabs or whatever, you know. No, I can't go online and print off the tabs like we used to do back in the day.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
So he'd learn it all by ear in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But that talent. Unless it doesn't reveal that he's maybe somewhat a relation of James Hetfield in Stranger Things universe, and he just like had lessons with James Hetfield for 2 weeks.
No, it turns out that he wrote the song for them.
Yeah, exactly. Like a ghostwriter kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, he's in the Upside Down, but yeah. Yeah, cool. Well, the reason we're here, Ryan, do you want to crack into this next issue?
Yes, we do.
Fantastic Jeff Lemire Sweet Tooth. Out of the Deep Woods, Part 2.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So join us as we go on this journey of, it's the eyes, man. I open the thing up and I'm like, there's the eye. It's the eyes. He's so good at animating eyes, drawing
he
eyes.
He is, yeah.
It's very skilled. All right. You know the deal, Ryan. This is how we're going to do it. I'm going to read out through the synopsis.
Mm-hmm.
Another short one, but very powerful.
A lot more violent in this one.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like I'm reading it and I'm going like, comparing to the show, because there's so much stuff that is exactly like from the show. Show expands on it a bit more, but then the show goes, how about we not have that violence and tone it down a bit?
Exactly.
You know, but I don't know. Like, yeah, I'd love it either way. Okay. Jeppard asks the hunter attacking Gus if they are alone. The hunter pleads that they can share Gus. Jeppard smashes the man's face against a tree. He turns around to discover that Gus has taken off. I mean, you know, like a true deer.
It doesn't. Well, I mean, to be expected. You've just seen this guy murder two people in front of, like, you know.
Yeah.
I'd be running too.
Yeah. Not to mention you're 10 years old, 9 years old, or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so he tracks Gus to his home. He tells him he won't hurt him and asks how old he is.
Now, this is a bit where we need to stop on, because this is a big, big, big plot point of the book.
Yeah.
The fact that he's asked how old he is, and Gus has said, well, look, according to last snow, my father said I was 9. And then obviously Jeppard says, well, hold on. The sick just hit 7 years ago and your kind didn't start emerging till after that.
Yeah.
And while Jeppard kind of brushes it off as like, no, your dad was wrong.
Yeah.
Obviously there's something here for later. So I just thought I'd stop you on that point.
No, that's good, because it definitely comes out in the show as well. It's like
really
good reveal coming up. Like I don't think it comes out in this arc that we're doing. We may choose to do a few more arcs maybe down the road. But it's definitely the long play. Brilliant writing.
Yeah, and that's something with Jeff Lemire's writing. You have to read everything twice, I always say, with his writing, because he will put things in there and he knows where it's going. And you might just think, oh, yeah, look, his dad was probably sick and he got it wrong. And nothing is what it seems.
You definitely get the vibe that he like maps things out. I don't know what his writing style is or how it does it, but like the same thing, and I've talked about this all the time, the first 5 seasons of Supernatural were written in one go as like an arc.
Yeah.
You know, all the secrets, all the hints of this and that. You can go back and watch the whole thing, see certain characters acting a certain way, and you're going like, holy crap, the whole time they've been acting that way, and you know. It's just brilliant. It's just brilliant. Yeah, okay. So Jeppard asks when his parents were taken by the affliction. Gus replies he's been on his own since winter and he's never left the woods.
Yeah.
Jeppard tries to tell him to get ready to head to the preserve, a safe haven for half-breeds. Gus refuses to trust him and decides to stay put. As Jeppard takes off, Gus contemplates being alone. He breaks down on his decision and runs after Jeppard to take him with him. That's how the first episode ends, and it's brilliant.
Like, I was just about to say that,
And it's that song. I love that song. It's like used in everything, the of Monsters and Men.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd know it if you heard it. But, yeah, like that. The show handled that so well. Okay, that night they pull over to pitch a tent for the night. Jeppard roasts meat on the campfire. Gus tells him he doesn't eat things that used to be alive. Gus is a vegetarian. Jeppard hands him a candy bar and nicknames him Sweet Tooth, as he will only be able to eat candy. every kid's dream. Jeppard tells him his kind, humans, are dying. Some people want hybrids because they believe hybrids are immune to the disease. By eating hybrids, it will improve their resistance to the disease as well. Suddenly, they are attacked by rogue masked men. Jeppard beats them but loses a finger in the struggle, passes out from blood loss and shock. And then the the chapter's written in blood.
Yep.
You know? Oh, it's so dark. And I must say, the Jeopardy is very, very grizzled, should we say. Hardcore.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Like,
the show isn't as extreme, obviously. But
yeah.
Look, another short, punchy one. But they're always punchy.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, this is, guys, you have to get used to it being shorter episodes with the while we do Sweet Tooth, because as I said, Jeff Lemire tells the story with his art more than he does with his words.
Yes.
So, you know, where you've got most comics will have the artist and the illustrator. Jeff Lemire does both, and he does a great job of telling his story with the art. So that's why there's not a lot of dialogue. So there's not really a lot for us to talk about. Yeah, but you still get the experience. So that's why we do recommend, especially for this one, you guys, if you can. If you can afford it, pick it up in paperback form because you will get a lot out of the art. Or you can jump on a website called readcomicsonline.com, which has a whole library of comics you can read online for free, and all of the Sweet Tooth 50 issues are up there as well.
Awesome.
I recommend definitely checking it out because you will get more out of the art than you will out of the words. Not saying the words are bad, but I just think he does such a great job of illustrating it, that the story gets told more via the words.
Yeah, and definitely check out the show too, because it is a little different, but there's so many similarities, and there's only going to be 3 seasons. 3rd season's coming out this year from what I've heard. But and then that's it, it's final, because they're doing the smart thing, because the kid who plays Gus, like, kid's age, you know?
Definitely.
They all can't be like the kid from Avatar, the new Avatar, the Last Airbender. Have you watched any of that yet, Ryan?
Not yet, no. It is on the list. I did have a good conversation with Chris the other day, re-Avatar, and obviously everyone's raving about it. So it is on my list, but I'm just at the moment. Believe it or not, I'm way behind on my TV shows now that I'm not working than I was when I was working. So it's just, there's just too much good content coming out at the moment. I'm just trying to get behind everything. But yes, it is on my list.
Yeah. Well, it's just that the kid that plays Aang, the actor's 15.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, exactly. You look at him, you go, are not 15. You are like 10 years old.
I've seen the trailer and everything, and he looks like 9-10 years old. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm just going, know. It can't be just we're getting older. Like, I didn't look that young when I was I kind of did. Like, when I was 19, I looked like I was 13. You know, but like, this kid's 15, you know?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And he looks like he's like,
well, at least he's got a couple of seasons left in him, though.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I don't know much about the cartoon or the comic, but Last Airbender, I know it's not comic related, but it's, look, it was a good watch. We binge watched it.
Technically, it is. There's comic series is it? Of it. So technically, it is, yeah.
Okay. That's all right. You know us, we're pretty free flowing, you know.
Yeah, it's not so much comic. Like, we're not strict to, if it's not comic related, we're not going to talk about it. It's pop culture in general, you know what I mean? Like, we'll talk about movies, TV, anime, comics, you name it.
Yeah, we'll do it. Yeah, and dude, guys, check out Resident Alien Season 3. Fantastic. Yeah. Alan Tudyk is hilarious. Mm. You can actually go to a website called Cameo. .com or whatever it is, Cameo, where, and Alan Tudyk will do videos for you as Harry Van Der Spiegel, and it is funny. It is so funny, but you know, you got to have the money to fork it out. It's not crazy expensive. It's not thousands of dollars or anything, but you know, still it's hilarious. Like, you could get him to say anything you want.
That'd definitely be worth the money.
Well, thank you for listening, guys, to this shorter episode. I don't mind the shorter episodes. I think they're cool, short and punchy, like Jeff Lemire's Sweet Tooth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the issues are short and punchy, not the massive 50-issue volume that I have sitting there that I intend to get through one day. But, thanks for listening. As always, if you want to reach out to us for any reason, thetrueandthefictional@gmail.com. We are on Facebook. We are on Instagram as stories_podcasts. Like I said at the start of the show, if you want to be a sponsor, buymeacoffee.com/STTATF. And thanks for listening. And we will catch you next time.
See you next time.